Mark chapter 13, in your Bibles, please. Some people are starting to abuse the fact that I'm a short preacher and giving me the pulpit a bit late, just saying. 11:35, that's kind of pushing it, isn't it? You know how obsessed I am with getting us out of here by 12. Anyway, the Potato Dew ministry just continues to grow. We have visitors pretty much every week, and you should come over. Sign up on the clipboard, pick a Sunday, come with us. I might even shout your lunch, but come with us and enjoy a new ministry. Well, it's not that new. Next Sunday, we're having a celebration of our third anniversary already. But God is really blessing that ministry. You got to meet about half of the people at camp, and I'd love it if you come. So tonight we continue through start a new book, the book of Micah tonight, chapter 1. God says, I'll be witness against you. So that's tonight at 5 o'clock. And then Wednesday night at 7, we continue our journey through John chapter 14, where Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, and the peace that he promised us. I know that Brother Barry Byers spoke to some of you men about the revival they're having this coming Saturday. If any of you are planning to attend, I need to know that today. And give Brother Howell some numbers. And I know that conflicts with the Micah 2 trip. But if it doesn't have to be a man, by the way. Anybody who wants to go to the revival at Sunshine Baptist in Whakatane on Saturday, let me know, please. I believe it starts at 10. So I got to have those numbers today if you're planning to go. Here in Mark chapter 13, the Lord tells us a small parable that's directed right at each of us as God's servants. And so we need to take heed to what he has to teach us. Verse 34 of Mark chapter 13, Jesus says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, or at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So I've entitled the message, Authority to His Servants. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray you'd use your word now to teach us your ways and to speak to our hearts. And Lord, guide us in your will. And may the Holy Spirit now guide us in truth. And Lord, we pray that this service would glorify our wonderful Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. So, of course, we know who this Son of Man taking a far journey. That's Jesus Christ. And he, of course, left this earth after giving the Great Commission to his disciples and went back to heaven to intercede for you and for me. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ, if you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 34, is in heaven interceding. And so, like we saw in the book of Job, when the devil tries to accuse us, Jesus just shows the prints of the nails in his hands, and those sins are dealt with through Calvary. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus took a journey, a far journey. He went from earth to heaven, and he's there now interceding for us. And the Bible says, verse 34 of our passage, Mark 13, that he left his house and gave authority to his servants. This house, I believe, is talking about the church. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:19 that we are fellow citizens and of the household of God. So the house, I believe, is Jesus left this behind for us. And it says in verse 34, he gave authority to his servants. Now, this isn't the authority, this isn't like what the Briders talked about with authority to baptize and all that, but this is the authority that each one of us has been given to share the gospel with the lost. And we need to look at it in a different light. You know, we often look at it as something that we should do when we feel up to it, but God says, no, we've been given an amazing amount of authority through the gospel to tell people about Jesus. And if you go to Matthew 28, Jesus explained that this authority was his and that he passed it on to us. Mark chapter 28. Most of us know this passage. It's called the Great Commission, talking about the need for the churches to baptize and win people to the Lord and teach them the Bible. Verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus said, I have all power. I have all authority. And then he goes on to say to us, verse 19, go ye therefore. So the therefore is referring back to his statement about him having all power. He says, because I have all power and because I am with you, I now want you to go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then he finishes in saying, lo, I'm with you always. Jesus said, promise, I'll be with you. But I'm giving you my authority to go. And so when we share the gospel with a lost person, we're doing it in the name and by the authority of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Turn there quickly if you would. You know, the Bible says in Luke 12, for whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And each one of us, if you're a born-again Christian, you have been given authority from your Creator, from the God of heaven, to take the gospel to lost people. 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Bible says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Think about that. An ambassador doesn't have any intrinsic authority of his own, but he's been given an amazing amount of authority, hasn't he, by the sending country. We are ambassadors for Christ. We've been given the authority to take his word to others. He goes on to say in that verse, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In Christ's stead, whenever we share the gospel with a lost person, we're speaking on behalf of Jesus Christ and saying, come to Christ, be reconciled to God. And this authority has been granted to every believer. But he uses the word, back in our passage, he uses the word servant. Christ is our master. We are his servants. Yes, we've been given amazing authority, but we're to now take that and what? Verse 34, and to every man his work. We're to work for Jesus. When he saved us, we gave it all to him, didn't we? We said, you're now my master. You now own me. You've bought me with your blood. I'm yours. And we basically relinquished all authority to him. And he says, now I want you, as my servant, to what? Go to work. And in this parable, he is the one taking the far journey. He left this household behind and gave us full authority. But he also says, and to every man his work. He has given to each one of us something to do. Like Brother Jim was sharing this morning. Didn't know he was going to do that to that extent, but it fits perfectly, doesn't it? So what work did Jesus give you to do? Not the person sitting next to you and not me, but you. What work did he give you to do? And are you doing it? Because he's given you the power. He's given you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's given you his own presence. Now he wants you to work. He's given you a work. 1 Corinthians 15:58. We can turn there quickly. Most of you know it by heart. But it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the, what? Work of the Lord. That's saying that it's God's will that we abound in the work of the Lord. And if you're one of God's children, he gave you authority, but he also gave you his work, your work to do. What is it? What does God want you to do with your life for him? Because the Bible says in Colossians 3:24 that you serve the Lord Christ. We're not here to serve this church. We're not here to serve one another necessarily. We're here to serve Jesus. Now, while we're serving others, we're serving Jesus, but we're ultimately here to serve our Master. And He's given each one of us His work. What is it that He wants us to do? Back to our passage, Mark 13:34. So He took a far journey. He left His house. He gave authority to His servants, to every man His work, and He commanded the porter to watch. While we're working, we're to be watching. What does that mean? It means we weren't left here to goof off. We weren't left here to take it easy. We were left here to be alert to the devil and his wiles, to be alert to a wicked world, and to be expecting and looking for and anticipating the return of our Savior who took this far journey. And we're to be living as if He'll come back tomorrow or as if He'll come back today. We're to be watching. We're to be expecting Jesus. When before He left, He set the disciples down there in the upper room. We just looked at it on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago and said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I'm coming back. Yes, I'm leaving, He told the disciples, but I'm coming back. It's been 2,000 years, but He's coming back. And He says, I want you to watch. He goes on to say in verse 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when their master of the house cometh. So this master of the house who took the far journey and He gave authority to His servants and He gave to every man His work, He says He's coming back. But you don't know when. It could be at midnight. It could be at the cock crowing. It could be at the morning. You don't know. We, none of us know. Which, by the way, that passage is just more proof to me that Jesus is coming back for us before the tribulation. If we have to go through the tribulation, then this doesn't make any sense. Because if we go into the tribulation, we can pretty much predict when Jesus is coming to the earth to set up His kingdom. We can almost peg the day. But no, for 2,000 years, Christians have been commanded to watch because we don't know when Jesus is going to blow that trumpet. He will come suddenly, as we read here. Verse 36, coming suddenly. And if you go to Acts 1:11, He told the disciples this exact thing, the angel did, that Jesus would come back the way that He left. Acts chapter 1, look at verse 11. Notice the Bible says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. He's coming back. And when it happens, it's going to be suddenly. It's not going to be a gradual thing. It'll be an instantaneous thing. Which is why we're to be watching. But in verse 36, lest coming suddenly, He find you sleeping. The alternative to the servant who says, yes, Jesus has assigned me a job to do. He's given me work to do for Him, and I'm doing it. The alternative are Christians who are just sleeping. Now, this isn't talking about physically. It means spiritually sleeping. Not doing anything for Christ. They're not taking the authority of the gospel to others. They're just sleeping. And Jesus here is using this parable to say, don't do it. Go to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And we'll see again where God warns us about this lull of laziness to just say, well, I know Jesus is coming back and I know He saved me. So I'm just going to kind of lay back and wait for it to happen. Just going to take life easy. You know, we often say that to each other, take it easy, don't we? Guess what? That's not in the Bible. The Bible says our rest is in heaven. It's not here on earth. We're not told to take it easy. We're told to work. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For our salvation, now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. It's high time to awake. If you're a Christian that isn't doing the work Christ gave you to do, you're not taking the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost people who need to hear, Jesus says, it's time to wake up and be a responsible servant. He gave you full authority. He gave you His Holy Spirit. He gave you His Word. He gave you His promise that He's coming back. He says, I want you to work and I want you to watch because I'm coming back. And He finishes there in verse 37, our passage. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. His last word of the parable is watch. Stay awake. Be alert. Be sober spiritually. Be expecting the devil to attack again. He will. But watching and expecting Jesus to come back should have a purifying effect in our lives. 1 John 3:3 says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's talking about the hope of the return of Jesus Christ. That we should be expecting, and when he does come back, we're ready. We've been waiting, we've been looking, and we've been working and saying, Lord, welcome. We, like John, can comfortably say, those that say, yes, I'm going to work for Jesus, can say, like John, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But Christians that are sleeping aren't saying that. They're saying, well, not yet, Lord. I want to do this first and I want to do that first. Don't come back yet because I'm being kind of lazy right now. And that's not God's will. 1 Corinthians 16:13, quickly. But you know, the Bible says, let us not sleep. Over and over again in the New Testament, we're told that we're not to be sleeping, but we're to be watching and we're to be working. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Look at those first two words. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men and be strong. Does that sound like we're supposed to be sleeping? No. We're to be watching. We're to be standing. We are to be quit, which means we're to be conducting ourselves. We're to be busy. We're to be conducting ourselves like men. And we're to be strong or courageous. We're to be serving Christ. And we're to be taking the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. And so this parable was written for us. It was spoken for us. Not for the lost. This parable's for us. And we know who the Son of Man is. And we know who the servants are. It's us. And so we need to take it seriously. What work did He give us to do? Are we doing it? Are we taking the authority, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and going forward with it like a good ambassador would, and talking to others on behalf of Jesus Christ so that they also can be saved? And are we watching? Are we living our lives as if Jesus is coming back? Because He is. Now, you know, there may be some that would say, well, the truth is, I'm not sure I'm ready. I'm not sure I'm saved. Well, we're all told to watch. But you need to be saved. Because if Jesus does come back and you're not saved, it's not a good thing. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. We all are sinners, the Bible teaches, and we all deserve to go to hell. The good news is Jesus Christ, as we're told in Romans 5:8, died for us. He paid the debt that we owe. Jesus, as God in the flesh, paid for our sins, rose again from the dead, and says, I offer you eternal life as a gift, and He does. The Bible talks about how if we'll just trust Him in Ephesians chapter 1, after we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we'll trust Jesus Christ, the Bible says He will seal us by the Holy Spirit until that day when He does come. But you must be saved. He must be born again. As Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In John 3:3. So if you're a Christian, what is Jesus saying to us today? Don't sleep, but work and watch. If you're not a Christian, you need to get ready. Because Jesus is coming back. And when He does, are you ready? If you're not, get ready. Get saved. Take an opportunity to let someone share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you so that you can trust Christ and know that you're ready for His return. So he gave authority to his servants. That's us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for speaking.